Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy, Pam Bondi, securing the necessary votes yesterday. But let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05, the great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning, Kale and Company News Live this Wednesday morning. Hump Day, February 5th, sponsored by Kitchen Magic this morning. Still following the story of two 13-year-olds in Philadelphia shot last night, and getting some more details on this from Philadelphia police. So the teenagers survived the shootings. They're in stable condition in the hospital this morning as Philadelphia police investigate this. So they say it all started in the 6 p.m. hour last night, 5900 block of Windsor Street. And officers say when they arrived, they found two 13-year-old shooting victims, one shot in the leg, the other shot in the lower back. So they called in both of those 13-year-olds, taken to Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, where they are this morning and still in stable condition, recovering from that. So what happened here? The man on the scene told them that he fired the shots at these 13-year-olds in self-defense because they had threatened him, shown a firearm, and were trying to steal his Honda vehicle. So that's what the witness said. He calls himself a victim, but they have not yet found the gun of a total of four teenagers. So two ran off, two shot. Where's the gun that they were reportedly, you know, threatening the Honda owner with?
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a gun found yet. So and was it with the two that ran off?
Yeah.
We don't know that information.
And we don't know if any Ring doorbell cams have picked up any video surveillance. I've got to tell you, those, I never thought that the Ring doorbell cam would be so necessary or become so paramount in solving crimes.
It's a game changer.
It really is.
It really is, yeah.
You think you're helping yourself out, your security, what delivery driver's dropping something off. Next thing you know, you help solve a crime.
Plus, you know, I could be here, and I know, you know, with my family at home, if somebody's coming close to the door, I can see, I get alerts and stuff like that, so it's all good.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to get one of those.
Yeah. Well, you don't really care.
Stop.
Well, it's either the Ring doorbell cam or I get a firearm from King Shooters.
There we go.
I don't need your doorbell cam.
There we go.
You come in here, stand your ground, law, Pennsylvania, pal.
Yeah.
Or I would always, Buddy would always be outside by the front door.
Was he a big mouth?
And he would, I think he just went to the front door because he was like, oh, they let me outside. And
yeah,
they won't let me in.
Because so. I have the most lovable lab, the most energetic, playful guy you'll ever see. Yet when somebody comes within 100 yards, he shoots his mouth off like he's a Doberman pincher.
Oh, yeah.
He thinks he's a big, tough guy.
And nobody's going to mess with your girls because of that. So that's
true.
Better than any security system.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, until they come in the door and then he starts licking them. Dork.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So we have that going on in Philadelphia. By the way, if you've ordered anything that happens to be made in China, we want to just let you know that last night there was a little notice from USPS, United States Postal Service. And I mentioned this in the earlier news, but my goodness, there was so much, you know, happening at that point. But they've announced they've temporarily suspended accepting packages sent from China and Hong Kong until further notice. So this suspension, as they're calling it, it was effective as of last night when they announced this from USPS. Letters, flats are not included in the suspension. Postal Service did not provide a reason. They didn't say anything about tariffs, but this all, I think it's fair to say, is in reaction to President Trump's new 10% tariff on Chinese goods, with then retaliatory tariffs of its own. So the back and forth continues. And I believe that was what, 18 hours ago, it officially went into effect. And so then China says starting next Monday, they're going to implement the 15% tariff on coal and liquefied natural gas products, along with a 10% tariff on crude oil, agricultural machinery, large engine cars, like we're talking about pickup trucks imported from the U.S. So all of this back and forth, but Trump's tariff hike also eliminated a duty-free exemption for low-value packages coming from China, like the crud that I order on Temu, or Temu, however you say it.
The crud.
So I know my husband's like, what did you get now? But we all learned about the de minimis exemption.
Yeah.
Like, what was that? So we're all learning all this stuff. It allows goods valued at $800 or below to come into the U.S. without paying any extra duties or certain taxes.
Extra duties, huh?
Duty.
Yeah, duty. Where's my duty? Yeah, there it is.
Duty.
So let me ask you this, because I'm always 2 years behind on advancements. is Temu the like dollar store Amazon?
I mean, that's where Tony Bruno got his drone from.
I remember him talking about that.
They sell a bunch of junk from China.
Okay,
and Dawn loves it.
It's the Chinese dollar store.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap.
It's actually pretty good stuff.
Do you have an app for it? Did you download the Temu app?
Yeah.
So now you're basically
totally spying on me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like,
you're a public person.
TikTok, China already has your info, sweetie.
Yeah.
The biggest thing, I will say, it's not all crud. Like, I ordered a winch. Yeah. Winch.
Okay.
You cannot. Meg's like, a winch? Oh, that sounds like a barmaid with a low cut. Anyway.
Yeah.
You can order, they sell a lot of tools. Yeah.
Well, let's get to how this affects me, because that's really all I care about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Road Warrior let me know that some of my parts for my bike are stuck in transit now because of this.
He was getting parts from China. The Road Warrior, Mr. America First, purchasing from China, huh?
So if you look at
he's doing it to help me out to fix up my bike.
Yeah. But think about all the cool stuff that Temu sells for a fraction of the cost. How do they do that?
Yeah.
Well, because they have essentially slave cheap labor. We would never allow here. Also, they stole all the patents from all the tool companies and stuff like that, and even the pillows. They said all of that.
Yeah.
They stole all the patents from people here, and they don't care.
Right. So
they call the company. I told you guys this, mm-hmm. right? I know a couple people whose businesses were like. So what happens is they call the company. The company sues, and they say, "Well, you can fight us in court for a decade and cost a lot of money, and yeah, you'll win. But in the meantime, why don't you just let us make your product, and we'll you don't have to have employees. You can work from home virtually. You'll make more money. You don't have the headache of having to manage. You know, all those Americans who want all that." Benefits and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what they do.
Well, lost in all of this now, we're burying the lead here at 7:12 on February 5th. Stocker has his first built-in excuse for why he will not partake in the bike ride on July 21st.
Fine.
He'll blame Trump and China.
Yes. Yeah, fine.
And the duties.
It was Temu.
I love it. That's a good one. Oh, my gosh. There is there's so much breaking news. We've obviously been talking about Trump, his news conference last night. Another headline this morning you will see is that, and remember, let us talk about Israel, that we expect more hostages being released today. Trump also made that announcement at the news conference last night. But then there's the issue of Pam Bondi confirmed.
Yep.
And we also have the CIA in the headlines this morning. So we've talked about federal workers, some 20,000 of those federal workers apparently have taken the deal, because tomorrow, February 6th, is the big deadline where they can say, I want to retire, if you will, take the package, get 8 months pay, 20,000, about 1% of the total workers. But now there's word that maybe there will be mass layoffs. Now, the latest group where the focus is on is, the CIA.
Hmm.
So we're looking at what's happening there, what's the offer there. And that's a big question with what's going on with CIA workers, as it looks like this continues as they try to, the Trump administration is trying to make government smaller.
You know, it's pretty interesting that the CIA, I wanted to point this out, I saw this in regards to your story, Buck Sexton, who used to be a CIA analyst, said the following in regards to this with the CIA. He says, if you think that the CIA agents are going to take, here it is, very few in the CIA will take this offer. They assume that they can't be touched.
Yep.
If you think USAID is a rogue elephant, just wait until you see the attitude over in Langley, Virginia.
Yeah, he's 100% right.
But think about, I'm sorry.
I would take the deal. I mean, you can give me 8 months. I'll figure out something in 8 months.
But I had to look at this because they're basically saying they're offering everybody this buyout.
Yeah.
Everybody in the CIA. And I think this is part of the strategy is to say, so far, for example, we've gotten 20,000 of the other federal workers. And these are non-essential jobs.
Right. Yeah, it's trimming the fat. We're getting rid of all the dead weight.
They never say that in the headlines.
Of course not.
It's the non-essential jobs.
Did you say it's 1%? 20,000 represents 1%?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Of the total.
Of total CIA or total?
No, federal workers.
Okay. I was going to say,
the CIA just found this out yesterday,
mm-hmm.
that they're being offered the buyout.
Yeah.
So, but they're all saying, you know, that this is Trump's effort to shrink the federal government, shape up the agenda, and I think make some of this happen before, let's say, you know, now Pam Bondi is in there.
Yep.
But as the cabinet takes shape, these individuals can say, hey, clean slate, mm-hmm. clean the house.
Yep. And we're still waiting on Cash Patel with his confirmation with the FBI.
Yeah, so Cash can say, because he said during confirmation hearings, no, there's no retribution. Well, because they're all going to be gone.
Exactly.
They will have figured it out, right?
We don't need to punish you when we release you.
Yeah, so we have all of that going on. We haven't even gotten today, and I have to get to my sponsor, but we haven't even gotten yet to Governor Josh Shapiro gave his budget address yesterday. And let's just say it's the biggest budget proposal we've ever seen with an increase 8%.
How much
from
my taxes going to go up?
Well, they're going to go up, honey, if he gets his way. It would be the first time the state budget exceeds $50 billion. So he wants a $51.5 billion budget. That's his proposal. How would he pay for it? Tapping into the state's reserves savings account, legalizing recreational marijuana, different types of gambling. So drugs, gambling, and tapping into the state's savings account.
Good. Okay. Good. I'm all for that. Yeah. Tax the hell out of all of it.
A lot of my vices are represented right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it becomes a negotiation.
Yeah.
But that was the budget proposal. Says he wants to improve education. We need it because we got that. We haven't even really talked about that national report and the Pennsylvania report on the state of education where about a third, I would say it's fair to say, about a third of the nation's children are below grade level when it comes to reading and math.
NBC 10 yesterday said that one of the headlines was Shapiro exudes charisma and leadership on statewide stage. Remember I said yesterday, this is the precursor for his presidential run, and that all the outlets are all hyping him up again.
Shapiro v. Vance, 2028?
It's either Shapiro or Fetterman versus Vance.
Fetterman.
I think I'm joking, folks. Not a joke.
Fetterman, and again, I'm a hot take at 717, and I don't really mean it to be, but I'm just looking at his health, his size. Fetterman ain't long for this world. I really hate to say it, and I don't wish that on him, but, like, he's not.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't know. Taft was president, and he couldn't fit in a bathtub.
We don't elect big guys.
How about that for some presidential?
We elect tall guys. It's not, you know.
Yeah. Well, he meets the height requirement, right?
Shrek.
6'7"? Looks like if the presidency doesn't work out for Fetterman, you know, Jack Link's jerky will probably need a new stuntman. He'll be available.
We've been headlining for you. Trump's shock and awe continues with his big late news conference last night, saying the U.S. would take over and make over Gaza. And this morning, Saudi Arabia rejecting Trump's Gaza takeover, makeover proposal. And then as well, many immediate rebukes as the rest of the world kind of waking up to this and saying, Trump said what? And then we also have word that most of those so-called U.S. aid employees, we've been talking about U.S. aid, will be put on leave. Nearly all employees overseas have been told to return to the United States immediately. We saw a lot of protests, and more protests continue are scheduled for today with regard to U.S. aid and those workers pretty much locked out. We also had some migrants deported to India on a U.S. military plane. So the Trump administration trying to say, hey, even our allies, even friendly countries, take back your people who came here illegally amidst this crackdown.
Yeah.
And Trump says he would even jail Americans in El Salvador in a heartbeat. Another headline is that Gavin Newsom, governor of California, gee, what happened to the California wildfires that we haven't even talked about? Think about this news cycle that takes your breath away.
They raised $100 million from that concert they did over the weekend. So I think you know, the people are speaking, and I think it's a good thing.
There you go.
That's a great thing, maybe, so we don't have to pay for their mistakes that
they did a six-hour concert and raised a ton of money.
Wow.
So,
Dawn does a six-hour concert every day.
Yeah, I wish I could raise $100 million. But Newsom is heading to Washington, D.C. today to meet with Trump. And the final story, maybe we'll have fun with this with Bruno, so I'll mention it. If you want, I love Waffle House. We've talked about Waffle House.
Who doesn't?
So if you want eggs with your breakfast at Waffle House, you're going to pay a surcharge.
I saw this. Is it
50 cents extra?
Yeah.
Because of bird flu.
Hey, guys, what about the cost of eggs? Remember?
Yeah.
Trump was going to bring that down.
Oh, here we go.
Here goes Greg.
Sticking people.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I get it. It's the bird flu, but it's amazing all the nuance that's involved when Trump's in office. When it was Biden, it was all his fault, right? Wow, silence! I stunned you guys into silence with that take.
I was getting ready to throw cold water on.
I'm just thinking about Waffle House.
On deportations, and you out cold water to me. I was going to just mention, we're not going to have time to get into it, but what you were just saying, Dawn, with India, some of the the scooping up of all of the illegal immigrants, some of them are actually having to be re-released back into the United States. NBC News had a story yesterday because we just don't have the space in some of the detention facilities, so to speak. I don't know if people saw that story. So huge amount, but there is a percentage of individuals being let back out, sadly.
Well, Tom Homan was asked about that, and he said he would. I saw there was a question to him at some point because he's all over the airwaves.
I
know he said he would look into it. But I'm curious about even the follow up on the car wash that the operation was conducted here.
Yeah. Where are those people at?
Well, it appears the statement on the ICE, website, if you will, that statement said that they were actually after the employer who they alleged was, quote-unquote, taking advantage of illegals.
Right.
So are those the kind of people that the individuals, if they were being taken advantage of, but they said, no, I have my court date, I just don't, whatever, then I think they maybe are relocating people, but they're cracking down on employers.
And I'm not trying to drum up fear. I highly doubt. In fact, I would almost guarantee that those that are potentially or have been re-released into American society are not the, criminals, the killers, the rapists.
Dr. Phelan McGroin on the YouTube chat says, Stalker, you sound like every lib out there. What is it, day 16? First of all, I'm not a liberal. Second of all, my liberal friends hate me, by the way. and refuse to acknowledge my presence in the car line sometimes. And that's the God's honest truth because of what I do for a living. Okay, day 16, I agree with you. But like, we're already making plans to take over Gaza. So, I don't know. I'm thinking the price of eggs might be chump change. You know what I mean?
I would argue that to me, if you're asking what do I care more about, I care more about the cost of groceries than I do anything with Gaza. I mean, if you're sitting there and talking about like the biggest issues that Trump ran on versus what he said he would do versus what he'll accomplish, I mean, I would much rather invest all my eggs in the basket, pun intended, on getting the cost down at things like that versus wasting any energy on the Middle East. I mean, not to revisit the first hour, but
And it's amazing to me. I just popped up Marco Rubio. I mean, the headlines with Rubio, and I'll just mention Marco Rubio.
Is this still the news? Are we still in the news? I mean, this isn't just a free-flowing segment.
Let's just free-flow the whole show. we didn't do a big take today. Sometimes the cut sheet's 2 hours.
There is a method to this, Dawn.
Nah. I say we just swing it.
If I were just going through the script and I didn't have 50 million interruptions, maybe. Which I love. I love it.
Yeah. Sorry.
But we'll have more coming up with Secretary of State Marco Rubio, his announcements. But we got to talk about Kitchen Magic, as we talked about Waffle House and those eggs and making you a little hungry.
Yeah.
Kitchen Magic, go to kitchenmagic.com today. Seriously, look through. I love the before and after photos. Kitchenmagic.com. Start your worry-free remodeling journey with a local, trusted, family-owned company that has been transforming kitchens for 45 years. Experience, you can trust them. KitchenMagic.com. Doesn't that sound nice?
Yes.
KitchenMagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you and tell them the Kalen Company live sent you.
Thank you very much, Dawn. By the way, Jimmy Kelly, since we're talking about eggs, I do need that on my board. I need what? John Kennedy from yesterday saying, I love omelets. I need that on my board as soon as possible.
What was his point? Because was he going to give a metaphor about omelets?
Sex is better than, omelets are better than sex.
Omelets are better than sex, yes.
Do we? Phil, you don't still have that from yesterday, do you?
That's an amazing clip. We're going to need that drop on the board. I don't even know that I needed the sex part involved in it. I just like the idea of omelets. And I love me some John Kennedy.
We're all hungry. The Waffle House omelets.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Waffle House.
I got all these tweets yesterday.
Grits.
You do realize John Kennedy voted for the spending bill. I'm like,
there it is. I see it, Phil. If you can grab it.
We have it.
Yeah, hang on. Phil's doing a good job.
Nice work out of Phil Omquist.
Yep.
Today in John Kennedy history. Omelet history.
It's going to take him a second.
It's in the hopper. Well, we'll get it to it. We're on the other side. That's fine. We have to get to Tulsi. We have to get to Bobby. We'll do that on the other side. And then the NFL story, which we will try to get in before Bruno. If not, we'll hit on that in the cut sheet because Bruno's going to join us for the cut sheet at 7:45. Back after this.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
All eyes have been on Kash Patel, still to come. Senate hearing confirmations underway and went through that process last week for Patel. Now we wait on the vote as far as him taking over the FBI for Christopher Wray. But yesterday we had Tulsi Gabbard and we had Bobby Kennedy. Tulsi Gabbard wins the committee vote in a big step for her position as National Intelligence Director. That tally was 9-8 along party lines. All Republicans voting yay, all Democrats voting no. And it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, honestly, Tulsi Gabbard, every single Democrat nay, really? I mean, what, because she switched parties? You loved her before. So she's in, and that will go to the next step. And then, of course, you have RFK Jr., and that also was a one-vote margin, 14-13. So now when you look at this and you examine everything from what feels like, because of the news being just so warp speed nonstop, it feels like the whole Matt Gaetz debacle. Doesn't that feel like it was 6 months ago? I mean, that was, I mean, I don't even know how many days or weeks ago that was. So obviously he never got to a vote, and then in came Pam Bondi. But every single Trump selection that has gotten to a vote has gotten through. And I think we're going to end up with that. I think if Bobby got in, and obviously, you know, you have Tulsi, she's going to get in. Kash Patel's odds, according to Poly Market and Kalshi, are higher than both Gabbard's and Kennedy's were. So I don't think that Patel will be an issue. And I think we're going to see a sweep across the board of every single person that Trump wanted, that reached a vote, that eventually will get in. And it's kind of wild to think about this when you think about the resistance, the pushback, the smearing, you know, the Hegseth story that was out there. And once Pete got in, it really felt like, at least for me personally, my view was that everybody else would get in. This is going to be the second time that Donald Trump will not have to use a recess appointment.
It's amazing.
Isn't that really remarkable?
Yeah.
When you think about the resistance and the pushback that the swamp and the rhinos and everybody that feels like, oh, no outsiders, no outsiders. And then you look at the historical nature of the usage of recess appointments of presidents just in my lifetime, from Ronald Reagan to the Bushes to the Clintons, Obama, Biden, Trump multiple times. I mean, some of these past presidents with multiple hundreds of recess appointments used, nobody's ever faced the staunch opposition that Donald Trump has faced. And he's not even going to have to resort to his last resort, his, if you want to call it, his get out of jail for free card in his back pocket. Not going to have to use that. And then also when you look at pardons, you compare pardons historically, Trump versus, you know, his predecessors. Not even remotely close mathematically when you look at the history. Dawn, are you surprised that this, and I know it hasn't been, quote, a landslide, 14-13, 9-8 party lines. I mean, it's split almost right down the middle, razor thin. But are you surprised that we might see a unanimous across the board, quote, acceptance of the outsiders?
No. Do you guys listen to me? I told
you. Yes, I do.
I said this. I've said this all along. That
no, you
that,
didn't.
Yes, I did.
You were with me on the fact that we didn't think Tulsi and RFK Jr. would get through.
Well,
stop.
No, no, no. What
stop
I,
with
no,
the revisionist no. history.
No, I'm not. You're crazy. Here's the thing. I said what I said about RFK Jr. was that I was worried about him, but that he would end up being the health czar, but I don't. I never thought that he would have to use those.
So you, but you, so you don't think that he will officially get the NIH label, though. You think he's going to be Tom Homan to Kristi Noem?
No, you, I actually think
Tom Homan is not the secretary of.
He's the czar.
Right.
He was appointed. He was just appointed.
Right.
So my whole point is, you asked me about these specialty appointments, which I think. Look, you listen to John Thune and all of that. They're Thune. They don't like those. And I think Trump was never going to do that, which is why Trump put pressure on everybody to get it through. But after seeing what they did this week with, mm-hmm. I mean, Pam Bondi flew through there. And now they, you know, Tulsi and RFK have made it over those hurdles. I mm-hmm. think that's important. So I think they're on their way effectively. So I think that. But I don't think Trump ever wanted to use the recess appointments. That was my point, Greg.
Oh, okay.
Not who you specifically asked me about recess appointments. I never thought that was happening.
Well, it's
because
gonna,
of the pushback on it.
Well, and that's not to say if Bobby gets that health czar label, like you're saying, but is not necessarily the NIH director or whatever the official title
HHS.
Is. Or HHS, Health and Human Services, yes. It's not to say that he's out of the out of the woods as far as, you know, criticism. I mean, we just saw yesterday, and I know it's coming up in the cut sheet, all of these people hooting and hollering that nobody elected Elon Musk.
It was
what
beautiful.
Role do you have? They're going to do the same thing for Bobby.
They look crazy.
They did.
And they're going to keep 100%. Doing the same thing for Tom Homan.
They look like a bunch of nut jobs.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that stand out. We just saw that in L.A. You know, they were standing out on the freeway waving Mexican flags and all mm-hmm. that nonsense. That's what they look like. A bunch of lunatics screaming.
I know what mental yes. illness looks like.
Ugh.
I was surprised which McCullough's wig didn't fall off yesterday.
Maxine.
Oh,
he's 45.
She's the worst.
God.
She's the worst.
Yeah. We'll
I mean, talk about. I mean, you know, she's up there in age. Term limits these people. Term limit these people.
I know. You'll hear all of it. We've got various clips. There's montages out there. A lot of good stuff coming up on the cut sheet. Bruno will join us at 7:45 or when we get to the cut sheet. Last story, though, before we do get to the cut sheet. You know, I said it's a big day in the world of politics and sports where they blend together. We gave you the Riley Gaines story, really the, I would call the Title IX rewrite. Officially, it's an executive order coming down at 3 p.m. today from Donald Trump, where he will sign the executive order banning men from women's sports. Also yesterday, with the Super Bowl coming up, it appears that racism has been cured in the United States of America. The NFL was actually able to end racism before doctors could find a cure for cancer. Because coming up Sunday, when the Eagles and the Chiefs play on Fox in Super Bowl 59, for the first time in 4.5 years, you will not see the words end racism
thank God.
In the end zone of an NFL game.
I guess racism's over.
That's right. The Athletic, you see it on YouTube, NFL to remove end racism messaging in the end zone ahead of Super Bowl, according to sources. And that triggered guys like Keith Olbermann, who felt the need yesterday to say, if you are against ending racism and stopping racism, that must mean that you are for racism. F you and every one of your advertisers, says Keith Olbermann, as he tries to take on the NFL and their advertiser. Boycott the National Football League, because the reality is this, folks. We were all racist, and when we went to NFL games the last 4.5 years, seeing the words end racism cured it all. It was like, you know what? It was an epiphany. You know, I didn't realize how racist I was until the NFL said we have to end it.
Thank you.
And put it on the back of a helmet. And you know what? It cured me. Just like that, I woke up and I was nice to people of all races, all religions, all genders, all sexual orientations and preferences. I was really in isolation. I never realized that I only hung out with straight white men that are of Catholic faith until the NFL told me it had to come to an end. And I thank them for that. They saved me on a deductible. I didn't have to see a counselor. I didn't have to use my insurance. The NFL curing things 24/7. But it is Black History Month. And on a serious note, I want to play this because the NFL and all the social justice messaging, again, you know what we're going to have coming up on Sunday? Two national anthems. we are going to have the black national anthem. You know, the last time I looked, I thought the national anthem, the only national anthem that matters in the United States of America, is the one that we have traditionally always played. I thought that was meant for everybody, and that includes white and black and Hispanic and Asian. I didn't know that we needed multiple national anthems for multiple races. And I want to play what I believe, and like, if you're black, I can't tell you how to think. I only can tell you the way I think. But what Morgan Freeman said years ago for Black History Month, when he dunked on Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes, one of the most beautiful clips I have ever seen. Phil Lomquist, I was going to have this in the big take, but let's play it now. If we could just go down memory lane here for a moment.
Black History Month, you find
ridiculous.
Why?
You're going to relegate my history to a month?
Oh, come on.
What do you do with yours? Which month is White History Month? No, well, come on, tell me.
Well, I'm Jewish.
Okay, which month is Jewish History Month?
There isn't one.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
Do you want one?
No.
I don't either. I don't want a Black History Month. Black history is American history.
How are we going to get rid of racism?
Stop talking about it. I'm going to stop calling you a white man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to ask you to stop calling me a black man. I know you as Mike Wallace. You know me as Morgan Freeman. You understand what I know this white guy named Mike Wallace. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
An amazing clip. I never get tired of seeing that. And I play that because even though the NFL takes a good step in the right direction of eradicating social justice and political messaging, they then come back and double down. And this is a day after we just gave you the story from Morning Consult that showed Republicans are now back consuming the NFL the way they were prior to a 10% decline in ratings in 2016-2017 after the Colin Kaepernick social justice protest. So what does Roger Goodell do? What does he do to shoot his league in the foot again? He says, in a day and age when American corporations and institutions are ditching diversity, equity, and inclusion like never before, Roger Goodell doubles down and says, DEI makes the NFL stronger and better.
We have the...
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Okay,
do you want to... Follow up on Jason's question about your DEI efforts. In light of Trump's White House and many companies in corporate America dismantling DEI, how has that made the NFL more steadfast? Have you had feedback from owners, corporate partners, other entities in terms of how the NFL addresses its DEI policies?
Well, I think I've said it before, Jared, but listen, we got into diversity efforts because we felt it was the right thing for the National Football League. And we're going to continue to those efforts because we've not only convinced ourselves, I think we've proven ourselves that it does make the NFL better. So we're not in this because it's a trend to get in it or a trend to get out of it. Our efforts are fundamental in trying to attract the best possible talent into the National Football League, both on and off the field, as I said previously. And we see that. We see how it's benefited the National Football League. And so I think we'll continue those efforts. I think it's also clearly a reflection of our fan base and our communities and our players. And I think all of it is something people talk a lot about the Rooney Rule. I don't know if that's your follow-up question. If it is, I'll stop and let you ask it.
I'll keep going.
But the Rooney Rule for us is not – there's no requirement to hire a particular individual on basis of race or gender. It's simply on the basis of looking at a canvas of candidates that reflect our communities and to look at the kind of talent that exists there, and then you make the best decision on who is hired. And so many of us, including the National Football League at our office, are doing that voluntarily at all levels because it has benefited us. And I hear that from companies on a global basis, is that that's a very strong hiring practice that we are adopting also. Mm.
Very strong hiring practice that most corporations are ditching. That's just more woke lip service from a commissioner who makes close to $40 million a year who's trying to pander for a social credit score. Let me ask you something. How does diversity, equity, and inclusion lead to a better NFL product. Does anybody actually care on an NFL 53-man roster how many Asian players, black players, white players, Hispanic players, or any other gender, race, religion, or ethnicity are on your roster? If I told you you could win a Super Bowl with 53 Hispanic players, would anybody object? The answer is categorically no. Do we care if there's a female referee? I don't. You know why? Because the male referees suck as well. Honestly, how many times have we said, God, what did that, how did that ref miss that call? Is the NFL rigged? Are the Chiefs getting set up to win a three-peat because the fix is in? And also, as far as female broadcasters have been sideline reporters in the National Football League for four decades. Does anybody care about that? Does anybody say we need more men on the sidelines? I just look at, what does DEI have to do with a merit-based profession? The answer is nothing. You either can ball or you can't. And that's what they look at. They don't
on
even
the field.
Yes, they don't even care if you're a good person, right?
Like, but in other subjective jobs, so in sports, sports decides because it's not subjective. It's not who you like.
Right.
I mean, how many times have we have talked about people who, you know, dog killers, whatever, their wife beaters.
Yep.
They get out on the field, people cheer, people mm-hmm. boo. Their performance is right there. But in subjective jobs, is racism real? Is sexism, all the isms, take ageism, sexism, racism, whatever ism you want, is it real? Absolutely.
Sure.
Does DEI help solve it or deal with it? No, it actually makes it worse.
Bingo. Yep. Well said. 855-839-1210. Tony Bruno in the bullpen as the Phillies caravan has made it to Florida. So Bruno's hopping into his virtual caravan, and he's coming up to Philadelphia because he joins Kale and Company next on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
For who? For what?
Exactly. That was probably, and if I recall, so that was mid-90s. That was about the first year that Jeffrey Lurie took over and what took us from Kelly to Midnight Green, correct?
I can't follow it because they change uniforms every 15 minutes in the NFL. So I love it. They're going to be wearing their Midnight Greens this weekend and the matching white pants. What the hell is this? If I want to see fashion, I'll watch the Grammys. I'll never watch the Grammys again. Anybody watching that? Actually, the bigger show has been the collection of politicians screaming in front of the USAID building. I know you guys played a couple clips of it, and I know the cut sheet better because, you know, I live for the cut sheet is life.
Football is life.
But the cut sheet is life, and it's an honor to be invited.
Yep,
be invited to come onto this program early.
Yep.
To be involved in the world famous, often imitated, never duplicated cut sheet.
Cut sheet is life.
What?
The cut sheet is life.
The cut sheet.
Yeah. All right. Let's start where Tony Bruno. So there was a protest out. Yesterday of the Elon Musk's access to the Treasury Department. And boy, everybody was just so... Where do you want to start? We have Representative LaMonica McIver? McIver?
Yeah, she's from New Jersey.
New Jersey,
so
yeah.
She's another one. Yeah, she's another... Other than Phil Murphy hiding an illegal immigrant in his attic, we have this beauty from...
Yeah.
Does New Jersey have any people that we can any elected officials that he can look and say, wow,
no.
She's going to do great for the Garden State.
You know, on second thought, Tony, maybe we just give New Jersey to the Palestinians.
Exactly right. I think we should take over New Jersey and gut Newark and build more golf courses up there. In fact, I can't wait to go to Trump Gaza and get a tea time.
Yeah. If you're driving right now on 95 or 76, you might want to... You might want to turn the volume down a little bit because this woman is, she's angry. She's angry, guys. Roll it, Phil. Roll it.
We will not take this. We will fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
Fight back.
And as I close out, because I know we've been out here for a long time, and goddamn it, shut down the Senate.
Yeah. Yeah.
We are at war.
Yeah.
$250 million into a campaign, and they be given access, full access to the Department of Treasury of the United States of America. We
war, guys. War.
So that is LaMonica McIver, not LaMonica Lewinsky or McIver, no. The TV show back from the 80s. By the way, she's
and
wearing...
she represents the great. She represents the Metroplex of Newark, Orange, and Jersey City.
Wow, out there,
beautiful area.
I think Trump should take over Newark, as I mentioned before, and Jersey City.
Yes,
and then turn them into condos.
And you can see she's wearing the Sherelle Parker eyewear fashion. That's the Mayor of Philadelphia fashion
Bradley.
Line. But, you know, here's my thing. Forget what she said. Forget what she said, because what she said is nonsense. Just look at the theatrics and the hysteria. This is the same playbook that they just utilized and failed on. You can't just yell and scream with zero substance and expect to win elections and get results. But that's fine. I want them to keep doing it. Please, keep losing your mind and having meltdowns.
I don't. They look...
That's
seriously,
fine.
They look like they should all be in a mental... I'm serious. Bat... What did I write in our group chat?
Bat-S crazy.
Yes.
I mean, seriously. They And they made no sense. And Elizabeth Warren...
Oh, we have her. Don't worry. We have it all. We have
gosh.
It all.
Gosh. Yeah. Like, I was just thinking, whew, these are the... This is where cray-cray chicks go to die right here.
Yes.
And they think that doing this is getting more and more people to say, you know what, they're right. They're right.
I know.
By the way, a politician like this, or an elected official, representative, saying we're at war. I don't know. I don't know, guys.
She's like legitimately sounded like she was ready to take to the streets.
Violent? Is she promoting violence?
I know. I mean, if that was a MAGA Republican, it would be
insurrection.
Nick Hale, Don Stenslin, Tony Bruno. This is I give you Representative Ayanna Pressley. Oh,
another beauty.
Who said this?
With unprecedented organizing.
Can I just stop it for one second? Just stop it for one second and then start it over. Can we back away from the microphone just a little bit?
Yeah.
Like, can I?
Yes.
Can we not do the, you know, the screaming into the microphone?
Yeah, I agree. And when did she start looking like Steve Harvey?
I'm trying to do
what
something.
Do you
at least she's not wearing a wig.
Oh, hold on, folks. Yep.
Sorry.
Do us a favor, Stalker. Just back away from the mic, though, and just talk through it.
This is war! We promise you this is war!
Thank you.
But all Greg... Right.
Is that Cioli's?
No, Cioli's is bigger than that.
Oh. Yeah. I got one even bigger than that.
Your nose is bigger.
Too bad
I'll
he has
show
no...
you mine if you show me yours.
Bill, get the measuring tape out.
Too bad he has no foot. All right, let's
priorities.
Let's start over with Ayanna Pressley.
Oh my God!
With unprecedented organizing, mobilizing, we will see you in the courts, in Congress, in the streets. Elon Musk is a Nazi nepo baby.
Elon Musk is a Nazi nepo baby.
That was the perfect volume level.
Thank
that's
you.
The distance you need to be.
Baby.
I mean, I don't know about you guys, but haven't we learned that calling people Nazis and calling somebody Hitler only works against you for your cause and your end goal and your mission statement politically? If nobody bought Trump as Hitler, they're certainly not buying Elon Musk. As a Nazi, what was he, a Nepo baby, is she called?
Nazi Nepo. Nepo baby.
Nepo, oh. Nazi Nepo babies. I saw that on Shudder Channel. I guess I subscribe to that. It's got a lot of really good horror movies late at night.
Nazi.
Shudder, great channel.
Then we have Chuck Schumer, who attempts to start a chant. And I gotta say to my liberal friends, you guys need a better representation of your cause,
man,
than Chucky Schmucky here, because he's the worst.
Yes.
Roll Chuck.
And we cannot allow Elon Musk and a small group of people to secretly, behind closed doors, take away our privacy, take away our dollars, take away everything we have. We are going to fight this fight I am going to stand with you in this fight, and we will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will win. We will win.
We will win.
We will win. We will rest. We won't rest. We won't rest. We won't.
These are the kids.
Chuck, I got my avocados from Florida, which grow down here, Chucky. And I got my Heineken.
Wow.
It actually isn't made in the Netherlands.
Look at you bringing props.
Corona is not made in
Mexico.
In Russia.
Yeah,
it's made in
probably
Illinois.
Made in Russia. It's not. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I know.
Yeah.
It really is.
Is there anything more? Even John Stewart was ripping Chuck Schumer.
I know.
The guy's insane.
I know.
This is like when you were a kid. And there's this group of kids who are not going to ever get chosen on your dodgeball team.
Mm-hmm.
That's the group right there.
100%. Yeah. You are 100%. Yeah.
I'm ready for the Super Bowl. Chuck Schumer, if you want my avocados from Florida, you're going to have to pry them out of my cold, dead hands. In fact, why don't you call Donald Trump, Chuck, and get some propane so maybe you can turn your grill on for your Super Bowl party and not have raw hamburgers again.
I'm telling you, you're right. We so desperately need term limits. But again, if Chuck Schumer is going to stick around until he's 6 feet under, that's fine by me. They are so out of touch. What was remarkable the most to me about this past election is how quickly you realized that the Republicans are the younger, more diverse, technologically savvy party right now. And the Democrats are led by the Dianne Feinsteins, the Nancy Pelosi's, the Chuck Schumer's. It's like they didn't get the memo that 1998 left and it's never coming back.
And by the way, this is led by the ultimate Karen. And I say that with absolutely no affection. Elizabeth Warren, who said this. Roll it.
Now, no one elected Elon Musk to nothing.
To nothing.
Not one Democrat in America voted for Elon Musk.
Hang on a second. Stop this for a second. Is she trying to sound a little like, street? No one elected Elon Musk to nothing.
She's also a moron because nobody voted for Kamala Harris to represent the Democrat Party in the 2024 election. So let's not talk about who has a job or who's been elevated to a role that an American did not vote for, because you basically put a shotgun to Joe Biden and tossed him in a dumpster and said, no, you, despite what you want, Democrats, Kamala Harris is the candidate now.
All right, let's start over. Let's start over the ultimate Karen.
Now, no one elected Elon Musk to nothing.
That's right.
Not one Democrat in America voted for Elon Musk.
Not one.
Not one Republican
Not one.
In America
Not one.
Voted for Elon Musk.
Yep. I did. He was on the ballot down here. I wrote him in.
Elon Musk. Not one libertarian in America voted for Elon Musk. Damn, not one vegetarian in America voted for Elon Musk. And yet, Elon Musk is seizing the power that belongs to the American people. We are here to fight back.
Yeah. We are here to fight back.
Fight back with what?
And then the as Fashion Week continues, that was her plum Pocahontas Patagonia jacket. That costs a lot of money, by the way. Those jackets are expensive.
The plum was on a big sale.
By the way, Dawn, I don't know if you saw this, and maybe you can look at the headlines, but like I had heard, and I don't believe the media, but like I had heard that there were thousands, tens of thousands of people in this protest. Can that be right?
No,
I heard dozens.
No, I heard 19.
I did. I heard dozens. And somebody even said like 100. There were not. It was dozens. And that's just it. It's just low energy.
Who actually, really, honest to God, who likes Liz Warren? How does she have a base?
She did when she used to, back in the day, she was good with being a watchdog as far as she had some good ideas with how to pay back student loan. It was so long ago, I can't remember. She did have some traction and following way back then. But she look at her. She looks like the crazy lady out in the corner.
She looks like my daughter's crossing guard.
Even Bernie Sanders' guy wasn't crazy enough to go out with those nutcases yesterday.
Could you imagine?
Bernie, he was sitting in his beach chair in Nantucket.
Yep. Yeah.
Bernie was joining up with Josh Hawley on a bipartisan bill to lower interest rates temporarily, that Trump idea, to like a 10%. To let us all catch up on our, 30% credit cards.
Could you imagine Liz Warren as a bus driver and losing her mind on a bunch of fifth graders?
No.
I'm going to start kicking some serious ass.
You know why she's panicking, guys? Because everybody knows. I mean, they know that this U.S. aid thing is a scam. Now, they do some good things, but you got to give it up to little Marco Rubio because he's in charge of that agency. And so they hate the fact that all of their pet projects are now being exposed by Elon Musk. Well, why do they hate having the government audited? Why do they hate it?
Yeah.
Why?
The same group of the same party that wants to audit you with 87,000 IRS agents on your tax returns is now in their feelings because their slush fund got exposed. That's remarkable. By the way, Tony, let me read you some of these USAID numbers. Did you know $9 million in humanitarian aid to Syria that ended up in the hands of Al-Qaeda? $20 million for Sesame Street in Iraq. $2 million for Moroccan pottery classes and trade assistance to Ukraine so that they could pay for models to attend Fashion Week in New York, London, and Paris. And they're mad that we found out about that.
To be fair, the Sesame place in Iraq, a lot safer than the Sesame place up there in
Langhorne.
In Langhorne. Right out there where there's only one location, Route 1 in Langhorne.
By the way, can I just go on a Sesame Place rant for
a
second?
Absolutely.
They have
are they still there?
Oh, of course.
Are they still there?
It's $30 for a thing of popcorn in there. They have you. It's the biggest. You have to leave through the gift shop, and then there's a plush toy that was made in China that cost them 16 cents to make is $60, and your 4-year old goes, "Daddy, I can't leave without having this." Sorry. That's just my own problem.
Great rant.
Representative Jasmine Crockett.
Oh, yeah.
She claimed.
She's the one that says white supremacists are the ones who are causing all the crime.
This is cut nine. This is cut nine, Phil, if you will go.
I mean, this is very simple. We right now have a white supremacist that is sitting in the White House. He is backed up by other white supremacists. And if you really want to know who the criminals are in this country, you can Google it. You don't have to trust me.
Google it.
The people that commit 80% of the most violent crimes in this country are white supremacists. Yet for whatever reason, they sit and they serve at the pleasure of the president. They are the ones that were there on January 6th, tearing our democracy down physically. And now we have them tearing us down right here from within.
Imagine being so attractive, and she's very attractive, and being so hostile and angry. By the way, that was
on attractive.
I think she's pretty.
Oh God, those eyelashes, man.
Ilhan Omar, ugly. Jasmine Crockett, pretty. Well, there's your squad dem breakdown of hot and not.
And I hope we get to AOC because she's going to be TikTok. She's going to be 39 years old. She turns 39 in October of 2028.
Greg, it should be. Just real quick on the Crockett thing. That was on the Laura Coach show. 3,200 people in America watched that. But their audience just got quadrupled by playing on the cut sheet. How did nobody challenge her? Was Scott Jennings on a vacation day? Because if Scott Jennings was there, I would have...
Scott Jennings doesn't even waste his time going on the Laura Coates show. More people are watching Jim Acosta's podcast now from his basement.
Let's see. Where do you want to go here? Do you want to hear from Representative Brendan Boyle?
Yeah. Locally.
Locally. With our good buddy Locally. Brendan Boyle, whose brother is the guy that busts up bars. And they both get wasted, right? That Boyle family?
Yeah, I believe so.
No, he did. His brother did go in and trash a bar.
Yep.
That was on tape, Dawn, wasn't it?
Yes. But
okay.
Brendan wasn't involved.
No, he's no, but his brother was.
He's the better brother.
He's the better brother?
He's the better Boyle.
I don't know. In Philadelphia, we always end up with the wrong brother. We had Jeremy Giambi instead of Jason Giambi. And we had the wrong Detmer.
Wow, there's some Philly sports knowledge for you, isn't there?
That's great, Ty Detmer. Now you're not getting this on Sports Channel.
That's true.
You're not getting this anywhere else.
No, you're probably sitting through a speed stick interview right now.
We span the gamut. Oh man!
All right. Well, he was talking about the Trump's sweeping government changes. This is what he said locally here. Government Representative Brendan Boyle.
47 past the hour, back to our breaking news this hour. Two sources familiar tell NBC News the White House is preparing an executive order to eliminate the Department of Education. One source says the order could come as soon as this month. The elimination of the Education Department would require congressional approval. With us now is Pennsylvania Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle. He's the top Democrat on the House Budget Committee. Congressman, it's always a pleasure to see you. Just if we could just, what's your reaction to this news that the White House is seeking to eliminate the Department of Education?
It's extreme to the max. It's also par for the course for the last couple weeks. Absolutely no swing voter I interacted with in Pennsylvania voted for Donald Trump because they wanted to eliminate the entire Department of Education. They want government to work better. They want prices to come down. But no, Donald Trump has no mandate to do this whatsoever. Furthermore, what President Trump is attempting to do to USAID and to Treasury and now the Department of Education, he cannot do by fiat. He is not a king. If you were going to create or eliminate a federal department, you actually need both the approval of Congress as well as the president. So he can't do this, and we won't let him get away with it.
Yeah, Brendan, right.
There he is.
You're not going to let him get away with it. Thanks.
I mean,
by the way, what is that? Did MSNBC relocate to Miami now to get the hell out of New Jersey, too?
I mean,
the guy, the anchor there, is sitting in Miami.
Yeah.
Can you blame him?
No.
Would you want to be sitting up in North Jersey at the MSNBC complex in New York or in Miami?
Yeah. Secaucus.
Secaucus.
What a armpit that is.
Yeah.
And by the way, Brendan Boyle, how about you worry about Olney and your neighborhood and with the education in Philadelphia in the public school systems instead of worrying about the unions who are making money from the Department of Education? What another crumb bum creep does nothing for Philadelphia but goes out there and he's playing God. Win an election,
creep.
Punk.
Yeah.
You are a crumb creep lush. I can
You're
tell
a crumb
lush.
Creep lush family, coward.
They are lush cowards. I can tell that they're lush just by looking at them.
You're a coward.
Exactly. By the way, the nation's report card came out. We're going to do a big take on the Department of Education tomorrow in all likelihood. The grades, I mean, fourth grade, eighth grade, math and reading, it's still a disaster post-COVID. There's been almost no rebound effect nationwide when you average and extrapolate it all out. I'm sure there are some pockets of success, but the pockets of failure probably outweigh it. I mean, our education is just, I mean, there's like a less than 1% chance, I think, that Trump could actually abolish the Department of Education. But man, if he could, how could you be against it at this point?
Think about any business. Think about any organization. If if we here at 1210 were, circling the drain with ratings and revenue, they would look at all of us and be like, okay, what can we change? What can we do better? What can we do, Like, government seems to be the only place where it can suck and nobody loses their job. Yeah. Nothing is reorganized.
Exactly.
Nothing happens.
And suck for 45 years.
Exactly.
The Department of Education was created in 1979 and we've gone downhill ever since.
Maybe
exactly.
I would say meteorologists, the weather people, and I'd say those two are my top two.
Unbelievable.
No, but you guys know. Look at our industry and how news departments and how radio stations and how entire staffs have been wiped out. What do you do? You go out and you try to find another job and you move on. But in the government, there's no accountability, and that's why government workers love working for the government because they think they cannot be fired, and they're mad. And again, I'm not saying all government workers are deadbeats, but I'm saying that the fact that people working in government, especially the politicians who get paid and then go in and make $175,000 a year and then have $20 million a couple of years later, That's the stuff we should be questioning because they work for us. And that's the bottom line.
And I do not despise or hate teachers. I think 99% of teachers do a really good job, but I don't like the politics of it. I don't like the Randy Weingartens. I don't like the union and the power play that they tried to pull during the pandemic.
It really pisses me off.
It does piss me off.
Thank you, Randy. Just remember when everybody was hoping for the demise of this radio station, well, every other radio station was cutting positions, we were becoming more live and local. So thank you very much.
That's because Greg took over like 10 people who left. So you kind of, Greg helped the curve.
And look what Greg's doing. look at the whole mishpucha of people we have now on the morning show. I'm just a small part of it. But you're seeing the building of this morning dynasty. And I'm happy to be a small part of it.
Are we the Chiefs? Are we going for a three-peat?
Wow, look at that. Tony Bruno, capitalist and a corporate core. The legend that is Tony Bruno saying that is getting me all verklempt.
Yes.
All right. We have the AOC, right, Phil? This is AOC.
She's cute. She's very cute.
Do we want to play this with or without audio?
She's
why?
She looks she does look adorable.
She says that Elon Musk is one of the most unintelligent billionaires I've ever met or seen.
Okay,
roll it.
This dude is probably one of the most unintelligent billionaires I have ever met or seen or witnessed. which you can probably even glean that from watching these people on TV. Anyways. All of that is to say is that they don't do their homework. Clearly,
pause it for a second. Dawn Stensland, quick question for you. She is wearing a very loose-fitting top.
Yes. Yes.
Usually.
Oh, my.
Usually, and I went through this about 5 years ago, usually when women do that, it usually means they're trying to hide something, right?
Yes, I pointed this out yesterday. That's
Thank
a great
you.
Observation, Greg.
Thank
I
you.
Extrapolated that video all day yesterday in my extrapolation breakdown segment. But I suggest she looks pregnant.
Yep.
I believe her breasts are now swollen with milk.
Uh-oh.
And I believe she's wearing that loose shirt. So she does it. You can see it in her face.
Yeah.
Women, when they get pregnant, they become prettier.
Yeah.
And her face is prettier.
They
it's
glow.
Filling out. I think Elon Musk impregnated her.
Uh-oh.
And now she's mad. And she's trying to get $1 billion out of him so that she could dump that ginger, that cuck ginger that
Riley.
With her fake boyfriend.
Riley, that's the best take. That's the best take. We can all go home.
I'm out of here. Good night, everybody.
She's having Elon's baby number 11. Baby number, right?
I'm telling you, those babies, you're right. When was the last time you saw a loose blouse like that?
Yep.
She doesn't have a bra on. And again, I'm not criticizing. I'm making an observation as a man who's seen many milk-gorged breasts as the dad of three children.
Right.
So I know milk-gorged breasts. I saw them opening last week at the
Thank God we have a female on this show. Honestly, we would all be fired.
Get in here right now.
Including me.
Get in here.
No, I thought the same when I saw her. And you're right. She has that glow. She has the look. And those puppies are plump.
Yeah.
And they're just by the minute.
Yes, they are.
And when I saw that video, I immediately thought about Dawn Stensland and I said this.
We want to hit that hard. That was a cooking segment.
Can you start that clip over?
Let's just run it on a loop.
Look how she laughs.
I want everybody to slow it down and just look at the loose fitting. Look at the loose fitting blouse.
Yep.
I'm telling you, this is. I'm on something. I got coffee, but I'm not on any. Whatever she's on, I don't want any of that. Okay.
Roll it again.
This dude is probably one of the most unintelligent billionaires I have ever met or seen. Are witnessed, which you can probably even glean that from watching these people on TV.
That's a Kamala laugh. But.
Anyways, all of that is to say is that they don't do their homework. Clearly, they're putting 19-year-olds in at the Treasury. This dude is not smart, and the danger in the lack of intelligence and the lack of expertise that. Elon has. I mean, this guy is one of the most morally vacant, but also just least knowledgeable about these systems that we really know of. But the point is that what that means is that they're going to hit a button, inevitably. They are going to hit a button, and things can go sideways.
There you go.
Wow. Hit a button. Where, what button is that? Is that the panic button?
Is it the launch
code? Is that the milk button? Is that the give me more milk mommy button?
Is it the Diet Coke button on Trump's desk?
Exactly. Which button are they going to hit? The nuclear, will she be carrying the nuclear football into the Superdome this weekend?
Well, according to your extrapolation, she's got two nukes under her shirt right now.
Yes, she does. Hey, baby, are those 200-pound bombs you got under that, or are you just happy to see me?
But you know what the worst part, just to actually analyze the clip and what she's actually saying 9 minutes later.
Thank you, Kale.
You're really going to sit there and question. And by the way, he didn't inherit any wealth. The guy legitimately became a billionaire through intelligence, hard work, the whole bit, and he's launching human beings into space. I don't think you're stupid if you're capable of doing that, right? I mean, when you think of all the politicians that we have in our elected offices, Republican or Democrat, she's probably in the lower 10 percentile in intelligence, if we're being honest.
No, I disagree with that.
You really?
She went to BU. If you have seen her in questioning and grilling people in some of those intense hearings.
Do you think she's playing a character when she acts like ditzy?
Yep. Look at how giggly she gets.
Well, that was the Kamala giggle.
I don't think
so?
She totally knows that everybody's going to play this, and especially conservatives. Conservatives and Fox have made her the star that she is. Do not underestimate her. She is not stupid. Watch her in some of those. And this is why I'm a news nerd, but watch her in some of these, smaller Senate confirmation hearings even over the years. She's very quick. She's actually good in those types of things. But right now she's playing a role. And if you watch her, even when she says things about Elon Musk, she laughs like that because she knows what she's saying is going to go viral. She knows it's not true.
Well, she was doing that on Instagram. I mean, she's kind of like a social media sensation as far as politics goes.
Yes.
Right?
And all of those.
But do you guys believe, Dawn, do you believe in any way, shape, or form that the Democratic Party wants her to be the face to help them climb out of this morass?
Listen.
Or more boobs or whatever more they have?
Hey, boobs are powerful. Those things are powerful.
Yeah,
all right?
Yeah, baby.
Seriously.
Hey, trust me.
They can feed an army.
That's right, baby.
Feed Gaza.
I think, everybody talks about Josh Shapiro. Nobody talks about the power of AOC. And remember, it was Nancy, they underestimated AOC. They've always underestimated her. She beat out even Nancy Pelosi's choice. Mm-hmm. So I don't underestimate her, and no one should, especially Josh Shapiro.
Okay,
in 2028, she will be, she's just turned 35, so she'll be old enough.
You're on to that. Okay, so let's put Shapiro to the side. So, Dawn,
I'd love to put Shapiro to the side.
I'd like to put him in the bathroom and leave him.
Dawn keeps reviving him.
I know. That Montgomery County guy.
He's a player, budget release.
All right, if Shapiro's out of the equation, let's boil it down to two. Better chance, a higher likelihood of being the 2028 Democrat nominee for president, John Fetterman or AOC?
AOC.
Oh, 100% AOC.
I go Fetterman.
And think about the
guys. Dawn is correct. They're doubling down. They're not going to have learned anything. They're going to double down.
I'll rephrase it.
Okay.
Who gives the Democrats a better chance in 2028? Fetterman or AOC?
Remember the pendulum.
Because she's crazy.
Nick, remember the pendulum I told you about in 2024? Is that when we go far, when we go too far one way, the electorate corrects us. So we're going to go too far into the other way, according to the electorate, and they're going to correct us again.
I would argue that the middle of America politically, the moderates on both sides with the independents in as the cream of the moderate Oreo, would far more resonate and gravitate towards Fetterman than AOC.
I'll just say this. If she is pregnant, she and Riley get married.
Riley.
She had her baby, right?
Yep.
Because think about what group the Democrats had overall. They have these, African-American women, white women in the suburbs that we've talked a lot about. and this women don't underestimate even the issue of abortion, birth control, as New York City, we're seeing all of it. So don't underestimate that. That yeah. issue is You're, not dead.
Do you think if she is in but fact Dawn, pregnant, though, that's the reason why she's covering it up and not revealing it, because she's on the pro-abortion side? You think there's a political nature to her concealment if in fact she is concealing what she's carrying?
I have no idea.
Okay.
I really have no idea. Maybe they're going to elope and get married.
I think there's a lot of people
maybe
that probably
won't.
Have that thought.
The thing about her, Dawn, the thing about her when she's on a congressional panel, she's well-rehearsed. She's reading from a script. She reads better than Chuck Schumer. I mean, she's well-prepared. But then when she goes up against a Tom Holman, she gets absolutely owned. Mm-hmm. So I think she's not quick on her feet. I think she's well-trained. She gets her script, and she's able to stick to it and do the outrageous thing, sounding smart. But I don't think she's as smart as everybody thinks she is. BU, I went to PU. All right? PU doesn't mean anything. I don't care where she went to school. She's a bartender. Yeah. And thinking, and now that I'm on parched because of this great cut sheet, can you make me a drink? I'll have a Perrier at one.
Yeah, I can go for one.
Sandy, can I call her Sandy?
You can call her. You can call her whenever you want.
Call her Toots. I like Sandy. When Greg drops the Toots.
Don't underestimate her. And the other one I'll say is Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio.
He's doing a fantastic job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I say these two names because think about what's happening with our Hispanic population, which nobody saw that coming, that many in the Hispanic American community went for Trump. They're going to be, by 2028, they're going to be a huge voting bloc. And so Marco Rubio, AOC, these names, these are the future of American politics.
Rubio's ears have a better chance than Rubio himself.
Wait, all right. So let's pause right here. Tony, we started the show this morning talking about Trump's press conference yesterday, talking about taking over Gaza. I want to get back into that with all of the audio, plus the pushback from the press. But we should do that on the other side, Kale.
I agree.
Okay, because I gotta get my avocados out, and maybe one lucky winner. Are we doing are we giving something away today?
We are.
How about you get
mystery music?
Yeah, we are.
I'm gonna give away
a weekend.
I'm gonna show you how. I'm gonna give away an avocado from Florida to the lucky listener who is coming up later on the show. Maybe I'll give Phil one so he can have his Super Bowl party where he's not going to root for the Eagles or the Kansas City
Chiefs.
Yeah,
and then we can have a Today in Superfood History segment. But you know what? You want to give something away, Bruno? You should autograph your Eagles Ricky Williams jersey, and we should give that
Ricky
away. Ricky Waters. I'm sorry, Ricky Williams. We should give that away for like the Travis Mannion Foundation and let somebody bid on that. I guarantee you we could drum up some good money for charity.
I agree with you, Nick.
Just a thought. All right, I'm going to run to the restroom, and we will be back after this. It's Kale and Company, 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Robert Half. Oh, I think AOC's brain is half empty.
Oh.
9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. They're recruiting professionals. Utilize an award-winning AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, they know talent. Visit roberthalf.com/talent today. Kale and Company, as we continue, but first a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group, and we are talking today about the Honda Prologue. It is Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free. It has three charging options to choose from, including the portable charging kit for when you are on the go. You can lease a Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne for details. Shop online anytime at PiazzaHonda.com and tell them that Nick Kale sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.